The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 572. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
Richard Bailey Jr.
Hear you.
And of course, Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, man. A couple of things before we start. Shout out to Riku Sun One, the only one who joined us on the Thursday show. Very lively rant from him. And also, usually with the question show, you know, we kind of get into it. But this one needs a little bit of a preface. Now, Reggie Butler, a.k.a. Weapon X, one of our biggest fans. But his favorite show on Throwdown is Tony's Take, right? He's been asking me for years to bring it back. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of done with it. We're good. But I made him a promise. I'm like, if this thing happens, I will bring it back, even if it's just one more show. What was that thing? If Phil Spencer ever retires, I will bring back Tony's Take. I'm a man of my word. Phil Spencer retired. I did a Tony's Take. And obviously, usually I have to kind of prod you guys to ask questions. Not this week. I didn't have to ask a single time. We had 13 questions ready, bro, before Sunday even hit. So you already know where we're going with this episode. So it's actually a 2-for-1. We're going to obviously take questions about, you know, the big shakeup at Xbox and all the Blue Point stuff. So I have taken out some of the questions that aren't related to this, and we'll just do them on the next show because they're still kind of evergreenish. But yes, in case you've been living under a rock and haven't been checking out the social media because they dropped the shit on us fucking Friday night, Phil Spencer is out of Xbox. Sarah Bond is out of Xbox. Matt Booty gets promoted again. And we got a new Xbox CEO by the name of Asha Sharma. So lots to talk about tonight, or lots of questions to ask.
Like past 10? Because my ass has been under a rock all week. I've been working.
You have been under a rock. Bro, Phil Spencer, done.
Yeah, like the last 72 hours have just been a grind fest for me. I'm trying to get my shit back together. Wow. Okay, so like this is all past tense, like it's already done?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, done. He's going to stick. I think he said he's going to stick there for a few more months.
Until the summer.
In the transition. And yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not normal, is it?
Like, no, it's not. No, we're going to talk about that because it is absolutely not normal, you know, but we'll get into it during the course of this episode. Dumeke, first question here. The great Xbox implosion with Uncle Phil retiring, Sarah realizing there is no future, and lots of booty love, and oh, new CEO of Xbox coming from AI. What are your thoughts? Were Phil and Sarah given the option to resign, retire, or get fired? Seems sus that they were both out at the same time. So I said this on Tony's Take, I'm going to say it here. This is my theory, right? Because, you know, Microsoft is all about AI now, right? And now the new head of Xbox was formerly from the AI division of Microsoft. So this is what I think happened. Nadella came to Phil Spencer and he was like, you need to inject more AI into Xbox. I don't care how, do it. And Phil Spencer's like, no, I don't want to. So Nadella's like, fine, got two options. Either fire you don't get your benefits, or you quote unquote retire. He chose the latter. My personal conspiracy theory, I could be wrong, but that's what I think happened. And I also think Sarah Bond, because here's the thing about Sarah Bond. Just 3 to 4 hours earlier that day, you know, before the announcement came, she was on LinkedIn telling people to come over to Xbox, like some developers, like, come over to Xbox. We can help you build your vision, right? You wouldn't say that if you knew you were about to get fired, right? So I think she saw what happened with Phil. She's like, fuck that. I'm leaving too. you know? So, yeah, the fact that the new CEO just so happens to be the former head of AI for Microsoft, now she's taken over Xbox, I think that's what happened, especially with Microsoft's obsession with fucking AI.
Yeah.
Now, can I possibly make a slightly altered suggestion to that?
Sure.
Because I think you're 90% right.
I could be wrong. I could be 100% wrong. It's just me just going.
No, yeah. I think you're 90% right. But I'm not sure that I have the right 10% to replace it with. I would say if you have somebody coming over from the AI point of view, I don't know if it's so much that they're like, we need to cram AI into everything as much as possible. They probably came over and went, we can have AI doing our art, our music. We only need 4 people and a guinea pig to make a video game now. And we're going to make sure that happens by driving down costs and just firing everybody. And there comes a point, even when you are a corporate, a husk of a soulless corporate whore, where you're like, yeah, I feel like firing everybody that I've worked with and learned to like over the last decade or two and replacing it with a soulless future destined to die is not something I'm in for. So I'm just going to go ahead and bail. I think the AI was a cost-cutting measure, not a feature.
Yeah.
That's the only difference, I think.
Yeah. You know, they claim that this move is not going to result in job losses. They absolutely will. Chris, I know you're joining us. You already know what we're talking about, bro. You already know what we're talking about. So, yeah, jump in here because I really like your initial take. You had me cracking up when you find out about this new woman that's taking over Xbox.
Oh, my God. I called it. And then I started looking into her background, you know, the whole like, she was at Porsche, she was at Instacart, which is bought by Meta, and then she climbed up through there. But initially I saw this, and I'm like, I guarantee this woman's not qualified to sort trash. But yet she's been put in charge of Xbox. They kicked Sarah Bond out, they kicked out Phil Spencer, and everybody could go back and forth like, ooh, they really haven't done anything. I guarantee you, this woman here is the, everybody called it. I mean, even Kotaku could see it. Kotaku said Xbox is dead at this point, which they were not doing well, but now they're absolutely fucking screwed. I guarantee it. This woman is not qualified to run a hot dog cart on the corner of like 57th Street and 5th Avenue, right? She's not qualified to do anything. Guaranteed. And she thinks so little of you that she has a bot replying to people on X.
Hear right? you.
She has a bot that you read the language. Yeah. And it's like, it's not even like an intern answering you. Just look at the phrasing in the replies to like, what games you play? Whatever. It's all weird. It's all odd. You know, it's AI generated, right? She's probably using Copilot or has something hooked up that is just fucking answering. That's how little she thinks of gamers. I want everybody here to understand this. Like, this woman doesn't give a shit about gaming. She doesn't give a shit about gamers. She doesn't care about any of us, right? She doesn't care about the customer. She will use platitudes and lie to your fucking face. And, you know, she comes from a lineage of people that lie a lot and pull a lot of scams. So let's be real about that. She's not going to do anything for Xbox but fold it into some sort of AI-related fucking thing, because that's all Microsoft cares about at this point, is leveraging AI Copilot and spreading that around. So I hope everyone working at the remaining Microsoft studios, the guys who make Flight Simulator, the guys who make Forza, the guys at Coalition working on Gears, I hope you have your savings all set up, because this chick is going to start cutting jobs and try to start working AI into every facet of development, all their pipelines, and you know, people are going to be out of work. We thought the bleeding at Microsoft was bad before. This is going to get way worse, and it's going to hit Xbox directly now. I was so upset at this. I was fucking seething when I saw this news. I'm like, son of a bitch, this is just typical for what is happening like across the industry. It's just like this Indian nepotism happening, and then they just put in this like just unqualified, not just a marketing person, which is bad enough. That's what Nintendo has done with Devin Pritchard taking over at Nintendo of America. But this is even worse. This is like another level of incompetence on top of being a vapid marketing whore. Taking over Xbox. This is ridiculous. Like, honestly, you might as well just take Dutch and just give him a funeral and that's it. Like, it's over.
Damn, man.
And cancel your fucking Game Pass, too.
Yeah, and then the other thing that popped
up,
right?
Already.
Yeah. the other thing that popped up, yeah, because like you said, you know, she was replying to a bunch of people, weird replies to hear you. That's my favorite one. That caused a whole uproar because somebody said, we want you to bring exclusives back. And she goes, hear you. Right. So people are like, oh, they're going to bring exclusives back. They're not bringing exclusives back. That shit is done. You know, so all these weird tweets. And then the funny thing is she goes out there and gives out her gamer tag. Hey, like, hey, check out all the games I've been playing. Her account was activated in January of this year. She has like 10,000 achievements or whatever. And some of the timing for those are a little suspect. Right. Which, you know, my interpretation is that's not her account or rather. It's an account that was made for her, and somebody played those games for her to make it look like she has gamer cred, you know.
Or the even crazier, which I've heard patents for this sort of stuff, where games that play themselves through AI.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
Tinfoil hat bullshit, but
well, I mean, there's one. Yeah. Somebody analyzed that she had 1 week of gaming where she played over 40 hours.
Yeah,
and it's like this. Ridiculous. Like, these numbers don't add up in a month. And it's like, she said Halo was one of her favorite games, which is like, Halo's a franchise. People are like, which game are you talking about? The only game on her profile is Halo Infinite. That's your favorite game? Really? I'm insane. Nah, this yeah. is
seems like a weird
this is all level of,
go ahead, Brett.
You seem like a weird level of fixation. I think I'm missing something, because I'm like, the I mean, sure, she's gonna do the whole song and dance, like, yeah, I'm legitimate, check out my gamer cred. And of course it's going to be somewhere between completely made up and padded. I mean, fuck, like, if this is a concerted corporate thing, like, yeah, it's very sus that there's 40 hours of gameplay in a work week. But also, if she's in corporate and they're like trying to do this as a marketing thing, would they just give her 2 weeks to play games to build up that? Like, yeah, also, yes. But does that make it any more, like, is that more legitimate? Is it more legitimate if she actually sat down and played all these games since the beginning of January in an attempt to build, you know, like, you're talking the difference between like AstroTurf and grassrooting, but like only in the most semantic sense, right? Like, so who does it matter if she played it or if it put it on there? Like, she didn't play it to play it. She played it to be visible. So, like, it's
well, Brett, the debate is if she even played it at all, which I'm going to say she didn't.
That's what I think,
but
too.
Also, like, why does it matter? Even if she did play it's
ingenuous. Here's why it matters, because perception is key. When you're taking over the head of gaming, you don't have to be. Nobody said she had to be a gamer. She's the one who presented herself as that and opened up this gamer tag for people to review and started talking about franchises and games that she's enjoyed, which some of which she hasn't even touched. So that's the problem, right? You put yourself out there as a gamer, as like, oh, I'm one of you, and I did all this. Look at my gamer tag, whatever. Nobody else does this. Like, nobody. Like, okay, take, I just mentioned Devin Pritchard at Nintendo. She didn't sit down like, hey, look at all my eports, look at my score and Donkey Kong Bonanza. She never said any of that, right? She's just straight up a marketing person, and she's going to represent herself like that. She's going to just represent the titles and whatever. She's not talking about being a gamer or being connected to the audience, right? So you don't have that expectation. When this chick took over Xbox and immediately put herself out there perpetrating a fraud that she's a gamer and that she has all this credibility, and then you go look into it and it's all false and fake, what is to endear you to, like, trust her with anything going forward with Xbox?
Nothing. She's a corporate mouse.
In 48 hours, she has lied about everything, and she has an AI answering people online. So she's a complete fraud and a complete fake. She has a complete disrespect for the customer and the audience. That is my problem. And that should be everyone's problem. And that's why people are going to walk away from this fucking from Xbox. The brand is screwed, right? Completely dead. And this chick represents herself the worst way possible. That's my problem. You don't. Nobody told her to go out there and be a fucking gamer, right? If you're a marketing C-level executive or whatever, and you're going to be shoved into the head of Xbox, she could have just did her platitudes or whatever, not said anything, not opened up a gamer tag or whatever, and you know, just said the same shit, and maybe people would have endeared that. But now that you lied on multiple occasions, that's going to be a problem.
But isn't this just complaining that
trust back?
Go ahead, Brett.
I guess for me, it's like I agree with everything that you're saying. I just didn't expect differently. So the expectations versus reality shift for me isn't that big. Like to me, honestly, this sounds like complaining about how the stripper doesn't actually like you. It just, yeah, no shit. That's their job, is to pretend that they do and make you feel like they do.
But the new Nintendo woman hasn't done that. You know, I understand what you're saying, Brett, but like, she didn't have to do any of this. No. Again, there are some people, they're like, oh, she needs to be a gamer. No, she doesn't. She just needs to do her job, right? But it's just weird. But now that she's putting herself out there that way, it's okay to scrutinize.
That's just not a touch, though. Like, she's not doing it because of an ego thing. She's doing it because she thinks that's the thing that's going to have attraction. So it's an issue of capacity.
Yeah.
Right? It's
oh, by the way, I agree with you. I should add the caveat, put quotes on she, because I don't think this is her posting at all.
I mean, yeah, it's her guy. Look, it's they're turning her into half of a mascot, and like, honestly, that's just fucking using tokenism, which is infuriating, but like, I feel like we've had the discussion before about like whether certain people are, you know, actually gamers, and normally I don't subscribe to this, but like, I think part of it, honestly, in this case might just be the fact that she's a woman or that she put the shit out there. But like, again, if a girl comes out and she's like, look at all the games I play, I'm like, do you work for a gaming company? Yes. Then I don't fucking believe you or care, right? Like, don't fucking trust e-girls selling you games. This is 2026. We should all fucking
know better right now. So you and Chris agree then. Then
we agree. If you say don't trust any girls selling games, then Xbox is dead then, right?
She's we do agree.
Franchises and whatever, that's pointless. So it's what you're saying, that's pointless because she's a fraud.
Yeah, I just would never expect, like, I'm just kind of I'm in the camp, like, did they actually think that this shit was going to work?
Yeah, like, that's the thing I'm thinking about, Brett. I'm like, guys, like, why are you doing this? Like, but again, Microsoft Xbox has always had this thing where it's like, they try to build like a close relationship with the gamers. Like, why? It's always backfired on you, you know, but they're doing it again.
Here's the thing. And you know, Larry in the beginning, you know, Herb, you know, Major Nelson, right? That was how that's how they started the Xbox brand, right? And they legitimately did it, right? They legitimately went out there. He was going out there talking to the fans, hearing what they said. Like, in other words, being more approachable. And I think that sort of is the idea of how they think is going to work, you know, for the later iterations, right? But the thing about cults is that the door has to remain closed in order for it to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's
like, man, it worked 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that parasocial relationship, you know, Xbox tries to build.
Exactly. Us against them. What is the, where is the, there's nothing there. It's just like, okay, we just have this wide open door that. Yeah,
I'm your friend. Like, we'll go to dinner together. Shit like that. You don't see Sony and Nintendo doing that. No, you know.
The only time PlayStation actually did do that was in the when they had the con.
Yeah, PlayStation Experience.
They had the PlayStation Experience, and then all those guys literally were all like really approachable. They go out to dinner. They hang out with you. All that sort of stuff, and that all went out the window once they all, you know, once the regime change happened.
Yeah, go ahead, Brad. What were you going to say? Number one, what?
Number one, like, I don't think that, like, aiming to have that attitude is necessarily a bad thing. I think what happened is, like, this is a 20-year-old idea, and, like, every fucking corporation, like, it worked 20 years ago. Why wouldn't it work now? I don't know, because that was 20 fucking years ago, right? Like, back when Microsoft did this, the entire world wasn't already a fucking parasocial relationship. That's the thing that's changed. Everybody is halfway up everybody else's ass on Twitter now. Fuck. And everybody knows exactly what time Golden Grahams as a brand is taking a shit, right? Like, that parasocial relationship has enmeshed itself into every aspect of life. It's not a special thing anymore. There is no in-group. There is just a message board where everybody's fighting. We don't live in that world. That it's gone. It does not exist.
Yeah.
And you can't get it back.
All right. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think about this whole shakeup?
I mean, the thing about it, I agree with you, where it's like, it just seems like just all of a sudden, and it's just like something happened behind the scenes that we don't know exactly what is. We may have like theories, but It was just
can I do a crystal ball?
You can, but I just want to put this out real quick. Even Greg Miller's like, he's saying that his sources are saying that Phil Spencer did not voluntarily retire, if you know what I mean.
No, this was because here's again, we know what the planned retirement looks like with Mr. Jim Ryan, where he did his little world tour to all the different studios and they gave him a party and all that sort of stuff. We know what a planned retirement is.
Yeah. This one is, on Friday night, we announce you're leaving and then Monday you're gone. I'm not making that up. That's exactly literally what happened.
And then Sarah Bond, essentially, she didn't get, she essentially resigned from her role.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that tell you? Like, it usually, if a head retires, you know, the other person will just sort of, you know, the other one underneath them will just like stick around. Okay, I'll just move to another position or whatever.
Go ahead, Brett.
We've been saying this for the longest time that she was the next in line to take.
I think that's why she left, because she was mad she got stepped over for, yes, like Chris said, Indian nepotism. You know,
she got stepped over by two people.
Fuck, you know, that's true.
You know, so yeah,
yeah. Go ahead, Brett.
I don't think this was Microsoft's intention. I think Microsoft basically, I think Microsoft came out with big dick energy and thought they were going to push people around. See, the reason I think this is, and I don't think Microsoft is a ship that nobody is piloting. First of all, like that's a thing that I think needs to be made explicitly clear to understand any of their decisions, right?
Microsoft or Xbox. Let's be clear about this.
Definitely Xbox, or Microsoft, and to a lesser degree, Microsoft as a company, I think, I understand the whole AI thing, and as much as I don't love it, I get it. Like, we're at a point where AI can write a song. That's scary. And, so do you need to hire a composer? Like, ethically, yes. Factually, no, I guess. But Microsoft as an entity should know that these are high profile figures that, if they get seen leaving the way that they get seen, like, they know that we can put two and two together. They know that we know that they just got let go, right? They would have preferred to quietly have them be like, oh, usher into the background, fade in the background, everybody smile and wave while confetti happens, and we're ushering in a new generation. Like, that's what you want to happen. I'm convinced that what we're seeing is damage control, which means that I don't think that Microsoft wanted to fire him, either of them. But I think Microsoft came in with this AI initiative, and this is where my crystal ball comes in. I think Microsoft's going to see a lot more hemorrhaging of jobs, because I think they're going to go this new AI person. The whole point here is there's two ways to reliably increase net profit, and that's to increase gross profit or reduce cost. And I think that this chick is probably coming in on a horse of that. Like, we're spending way too much money on video games, which is true. Let's fix it by firing developers and artists, which is the worst reaction. And I think the two of them probably saw that coming. And I think Phil Spencer was the first one to be like, I'm not having any part of this. Fuck this. They're like, and not even like, I'm not saying he's being the moral guy and standing up for gamers. I'm saying he saw this and be like, you guys are idiots and you're going to kill the brand. I'm not having any part of this.
Yeah.
I'm making a stand. And they went, well, then you can go fuck yourself. And when they said that, Sarah Bond was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be the only one tied to this sinking ship. Fuck this. But I don't think that this was Microsoft's A game. Plan A. There we go. Because the optics are too obvious. They'd want to make it look like everybody was smiling and happy and friends and it was convenient. And you know, we're sitting here having this conversation like, this isn't normal. This isn't how things happen. This reeks of internal struggle. They don't want us knowing that.
Yeah, well, too bad it looks like it.
Go ahead, feel Carlos. Like with I feel like for me, I lean more towards Tony, but with caveats. I feel like the plan was for Nadella was always to get rid of Phil because he's been there for over a decade as the CEO of Microsoft Gaming. I guess that's what it's called now.
Yeah.
So it's been over 10 years. I mean, you can only hold people with that level of, you know, some companies obviously don't abide by this, but, you know, they want results, especially in a company like Microsoft. So
you don't think they'd sunset him?
You know what?
But you don't think they would rather sunset him, I guess, would be like, that's the crux of my question.
Well, it's possible, but there's also a possibility. What if the Nadella's, you know, what if they thought that this Asha person was going to go somewhere else, and, you know, maybe that's the way they're keeper. I don't know. But here's the thing with Phil. It's like they were going to get rid of him one way or the other, because it's been too long and Xbox is in a steady decline.
Yeah.
Oh, Phil was on his way out. I just think that somebody pulled the cord. Like, it's one of those, fuck you, you can't fire me, I quit. You know, like, we're giving you your notice, fuck you, I quit. Kind of like, I think that, yeah, Phil was being sunset and then he just noped for some reason. That's, I can't figure out why, but, well, that's just.
And for Phil, I mean, and think about this. Phil was not only the CEO, like, he was both the big ideas and the in-between person. He knew about the video games. He was not as knowledgeable as almost anyone about it and the studios and what they did and what and all that in the history. He's been in Microsoft for longer than I've been alive. So he's in the weeds, but he's also the top dog. And with this transition here is they said, OK, we're sunsetting Phil, and he's essentially going to get replaced by Matt Booty, because and shout out to Rich. They love the Booty because this guy is the games guy. He's the Herman Holt. He's going to be the Herman Holtz of Microsoft gaming. and shout out to Herman. And Sasha, I forgot her last name, but she's going to be the Nadella of Xbox.
Oh shit.
She's going to be the big ideas.
That's interesting take. Yeah. Good.
I have a slight theory. I don't think she's going to be there for birth.
I agree.
I think
you look at her track record, well, she's never stayed at a company for more, or excuse me, in a position for more than 4 years.
They're going to move her up. She's not going to be at Xbox for very long. They're probably give it a few years. And then I think Booty's going to be the main head of Microsoft games. And I think I think Xbox is going to get liquidated.
Absorbed.
I agree with all that. And I think Manny
is going to exist.
I think she's there to make her name by cutting costs. Like, I think that's her crusade coming into, like, Microsoft is like, all right, Xbox division, go fuck yourself. We're putting in somebody else. And she's coming in to cut costs. And yeah. I think
but she's,
her career plan is, I'm going to go in, cut costs in the game division, and then rise through the ranks of Microsoft Corporation.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I mean, she's known for AI, apparently. None of us have heard of her, but she's apparently known for AI. Mm-hmm. So
Where in her resume does she know any bit of machine learning or AI or any development?
Well, that's position she came from, but yes.
Exactly. Yeah. She's just a marketing snake who has worked her way into positions of executive privilege where she's put in charge of things like this. Trust me when I tell you, this woman probably barely knows how to run Microsoft Word, let alone develop or manage any type of AI.
Yeah, I agree with that. Kuel, you don't have to stand for this woman, bro. Kuel's in their hard simping for this chick.
I mean, okay. Anyways, even if she is great at AI, there are 12-year-olds who have used AI to become leading open AI researchers. I'm not going to be super impressed because it's such an emergent field, and the people who are deep in it are deep in it. They're not sitting in fucking boardrooms. They're training AI, right? So there is such a wide gulf between the practicing knowledge and the people in management, there is no way you are going to convince me that this chick knows how to program a large language model, much less the slightest inkling of what's happening inside that black box.
And I totally agree with Manny. She's a careerist, so she'll move to the next, you know, hotspot, you know, in two or three years.
No, she wants
if that.
She's just trying to go up the corporate ladder. That's it.
The reason why you keep. You have Matt Booty there. You have Matt Booty there for support to be the one that is a little bit more knowledgeable about these things. But I think that the ultimate goal here is to get rid of the Xbox division totally. And it's only going to be Microsoft games.
And Manny, to be fair, that's its official name. It's already. Remember, she's not the head. Look at her title. Her title is not CEO of Xbox. It is CEO of Microsoft Gaming. And that was Phil's. Title two, to be fair, that Xbox has been dead. Xbox.
The Xbox division portion of it, that you know, that was, you know, that still that position still existed, but the overseer of all of this was Microsoft Games. I don't think that Microsoft Game, I mean, excuse me, Xbox is going to exist for any for much longer. I think she's going to move up. Microsoft Xbox is going to get closed down. They might just have the consoles or whatever, and then it'll only just be Microsoft Games.
Yeah, Microsoft
and Games. I think Booty, and I think Booty is going to be the one that takes that position.
Yeah.
Microsoft Games is not even going to do well. Like
it's already called that. That's its official name, by the way. Microsoft
Games. No. I'm saying, once they like, I agree with everything you guys are saying. This is the nail in the coffin. And when they make the transition, be like, oh, we're just going to be a publisher. They're going to go the way of Sega, right? Like they think that they're going to maintain relevancy, and they're just going to pop up every now and again as a bygone name. Like the big thing I'm wondering now is like, okay, cool, so that's the nail in that coffin. So what happens to the industry now? We have two sharks that don't swim in the same ocean and don't compete. Like what happens now?
The same thing you've seen all generation. Yeah. Xbox hasn't really been competing this generation. You're already seeing it.
So is this forever now?
Yes. Unfortunately.
Yeah. QL says on the chat, how can she move up from being directly under the CEO? Well, she can be the CEO of Azure, the CEO of Windows, the CEO of Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, she'll probably jump to another company by having, like, now that she's been head of a division, she can go to a head of a bigger division or at another company.
I think in general, because you're thinking too linearly. If you notice the pattern of the things that she has done previously, they have absolutely nothing to do with each other, right? So this position is just a stepping stone for something else. She's keeping the seat warm until they can move her into another position, another higher position. I think that's what she's looking for.
She's keeping the seat warm so the booty can fit it.
You know.
Yeah, that's it. I think
especially in Zeitgeist.
Yeah,
it's the bubble. It's the smoke in the mirrors. It's none of the things that she's done before have a connection, except for they were all the hot things that. So she's like, it's clear her talent is talking people into things that don't necessarily exist, right? She's a hype person. We used to call those people confidence men.
Eh. All right. I'm going to move on to the next question. It's all related for the next couple of questions. This one's from Dre Day. I believe Microsoft shot itself in the foot by pushing for Play Anywhere and Game Pass. Although I understood Phil Spencer's idea to an extent of allowing gamers to have freedom to play games no matter the platform, it ultimately is the main reason for their failures. So here's the question. Do you guys think that with the new leadership, Microsoft will support the Xbox brand to make one more attempt at redemption? Like I'm with Manny on this one, man. I think this next... And here's the thing. If you saw Sarah Bond's final statement... She says their teams are working hard on the next platform. She didn't say Xbox. She said the next gaming platform, right? I still think they will call it Xbox, but I think that's going to be the last thing that's going to be called Xbox. Yeah. I think that's going to be the last. I'm going to say it. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about this, Manny. I think that's going to be the last piece of hardware they release. And then it'll just be third party for real, you know?
I think it'll just be like their tablet PC division. It's something that they release,
I don't think they need it. Why wouldn't they just partner with Asus to keep updating the ROG Allies and stuff?
Well, that's the thing. There you go.
I do agree with that. I do think that it's going to be the last Xbox that is produced directly by Microsoft.
Yes, yes.
I think they're going to hand that shit over to some other company.
Asus, probably. Yeah, you make probably. This shit now, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you already did a good job with your handheld that had Xbox logos all over it. Yep. So, like, here, make us a console.
Yeah.
Well, can I ask? There's an awful lot of confidence there that the Play Anywhere is to blame. But I don't necessarily agree
with that. By the way, Brett,
I don't think agree with that either.
Yeah. I don't agree with that part.
Yeah. Well, is it the question? So I'm not sure if he's in the chat, but like,
he's not. But go ahead.
Okay. I'm not really. I guess it's just kind of more old man yelling at the clouds. I'm not sure if I agree with that being the problem. I think to distill down a little bit, like what you're saying is like Microsoft's not being tied to a singular platform was their downfall. But I don't even know if that's necessarily true either, because other companies have kind of done it fine. I would personally say more specifically, Microsoft split its focus too much in an effort to try and claim market share from Steam because it couldn't wrestle it from Xbox. And like looking at a bully and being like, I don't want to fight that guy. And then looking at a serial killer and go, I'm going to go pick a fight with that guy instead, was a dumb fucking move, right? Like Sony's strong, Steam is stronger. Like honestly, between the two of them in a head-to-head match, like you ain't taking down PC gaming, and Steam owns PC gaming, and it's got the war chest that Nintendo wishes it had, right? So like I think the idea of being like, well, we can't take out Sony, we should try taking on Steam, was just, I think that was the critical mistake right there. But we could probably argue about that.
By the way, something I forgot to mention on the previous question, also another reason why it kind of makes sense, and I'm saying kind of, so don't come at me. Yeah. But it kind of makes sense why this person got chosen as a CEO is because I think they wanted a complete 180 from Phil. Phil was the gaming guy.
Yeah.
And usually, and this happens in everything, in politics. You know, when someone becomes president, they kind of pick. It's always the same person. But you know what I mean, right? Like sometimes like people, when they see something, they kind of, and it doesn't work, they want to see the complete opposite to see if that works. So I feel that has part of it to do as well.
I kind of think the same thing, but I'm thinking of it maybe more in terms of like approach. Cause if I'm sitting in a boardroom right now, I'm being like, okay, so we need more profit. Our whole goal here is to maximize profit. How do we make more off of games? Like, let's look at the record. How do we guarantee that we make a good selling game? What's that? We can't. Okay. How do we guarantee that we're not hemorrhaging money? Then we cut costs. And I think that they are dangerously leaning on that leg. I get it. They're like, there's no rhyme or reason to what's going to make a success. We can drop $200 million into a game and then have it be a flop and close down a whole studio. Why don't we just, try and rein in some of these expenditures? Oh, by cutting out Nepo babies? No. We're not going to do that. Let's kill the artists. Let's do that. I think that it is become like this moment right here is when Xbox becomes an Ouroboros of cutting its own cost to cut itself off of the need so that it can get something out the door that then just sucks. I mean, maybe we've already been here, but like this, I'm telling you, this is the moment where I talk about alignment a lot. I talk about incentives a lot. This is the moment where the biggest departure, like they're not here to be a game company after this. I'm convinced, like they're here to try and sell you products for as much as possible, the cost as little as possible to make, and to maximize engagement and retention. That they're not a game company anymore. They're an attention retention company. And we are all going to feel the effects of that very soon.
Yeah. Rich, get in here, man. I haven't heard from you all night.
Okay, first and foremost, let me just say this, Tony. The title of Elfire Stroker, we need to give that to Chris tonight because he came in very hot. I was laughing for most of the start of this show because I agree with a lot of what. Yeah. Oh, there you go. See, yeah. And Tony agrees also.
Yes,
he does. So let me start by saying this. The original question was, do you think that they're going to bring back Xbox? Absolutely not. This is the end of Xbox. I think that's pretty clear. And to go to the point that Carlos made earlier about Phil being the gaming guy, yes, we can all agree that Phil went above and beyond. He, because I saw a lot of people talking about the fact that, when he went to Japan trying to get a relationship with Square Enix, you're not going to see this person doing any of this. Actually, the tweet that I shared with you, Tony, somebody wrote where they simulated a conversation of, basically saying, hey, so what's going to happen with this Final Fantasy games? And then they simulated that the person said, hey, we only sold 20 copies of the game. Just get rid of that partnership altogether. Close the studio. So that's why I said, this woman who is in there now, she's there to cut costs. And one other quick point that I will mention, because a lot of you guys was talking about how she was interacting with people online. The statement that was written, that statement 1000% written in AI, it sounded way too good. I read over that. I said, hey, no way in hell somebody wrote this. If they wrote it, they had to get some assistance. She's talking about all the good things that we're going to do.
And that's, and also if you read that statement and then you go to the fact of her having that gamer tag, that right there contradicts itself, because she says in the statement, I want to figure out how this works. But she's supposedly a gamer, right? So that's why I said she doesn't understand what this job entails. She's there to fill a void for the time being until, Carlos's boy, Matt Booty, steps in and takes over that role. And by the way, if you know, I've been very vocal about not liking the fact that Matt Booty is still there, because this guy, throughout all of these years, he's had the job of communicating with these studios to check on the progress of how the projects are going, how the games are going. So I kind of feel like if you're going to make these cuts, I think you probably should have got rid of him also. But it is what it is. He's going to serve the purpose of stepping into that role. And the last thing I will mention about Sarah Bond, I know that she had that message on LinkedIn that was released prior to the announcement. And then when I read her statement and the fact that she's saying in the statement, yes, I spent the last couple of weeks working alongside this person. This is how you know it was sudden, because, again, even if that was a scheduled message, that came out 3 hours before her statement about, oh, yes, that she was moving on to what's next. So, yes, she definitely was supposed to replace Phil. And then they decided when what happened with Phil happened, that was it. It was game over. I mean, I think it's very clear if you read all this information, this is how it played out, at least from what I read. So, but yes, it's over for Xbox, and it's going to be a very slow death in terms of, and again, the reason why I say it was sudden, because this is the 25th anniversary. This year, how I imagined Phil was going to go out would have been at the end of the year, whenever they introduced a new console, that was when he was going to be done. But for him to go out at the start of the year, and this is supposed to be the biggest year for Xbox, this is going to definitely hurt Microsoft moving forward. So obviously, fans of Xbox, myself included, just get your hopes down, I would say.
Yeah, Brian, I'm going to get your thoughts next, but I want to read that tweet that Rich mentioned. This somebody's hypothetical situation, right? He goes, the future of Square Enix and Xbox. Manager, ma'am, we have a meeting scheduled with Naoki Hamaguchi from Square Enix. Asha, who? Manager, he's the director of Final Fantasy VII. Asha, scrolling through Xbox financials. This sells 20 copies on Xbox. Cancel the meeting. Yeah, I can see that. But yeah, Brian, what's your thoughts on all this, man? You know, the whole shakeup, the future of Xbox, all that shit.
It is very dire. As you can imagine, I echo all the sentiments of everyone else. I honestly don't think she's going to be any good for Xbox, just given her history and the situation Xbox was in. Again, there is a slight, and by slight I mean just it's a number greater than zero, but less than whatever the smallest number you can think of is, that she can turn it around, but I honestly do not believe that she can. Again, Uncle Phil was probably the best chance they had to turn around, and even then, all he did was just sit there and watch it slowly die. So under her tenure, I think Xbox will just die faster than what we've ever seen.
Yeah, I can see that.
So yeah, this is, again, I can't say for certainty that this is the end for Xbox, but I would be incredibly surprised if she does anything meaningful and turns it around.
Yeah, that question was from Dre Day and Lego Bro. Lego Bro's question, we kind of already kind of answered it. It was, you know, how long will Xbox be around for? Not very long. So we kind of already answered that one. So we'll go for this next one here. Did Satya Nadella set Phil Spencer up for failure? Interesting question. What do you guys think?
What was that again?
Did Satya Nadella set Phil Spencer up for failure?
No, I don't think it was her that was setting anybody up for failure. I think it was just a move to get somebody in there, you know?
Someone different.
I don't know. Huh?
You mean someone different, right? Is that what?
Yeah, I think it's a move to get somebody somebody different in there. Possibly somebody that could be a little bit more of a yes person than probably Phil might have been. Who knows?
I think the question is more geared towards, or at least my interpretation is more towards from the beginning. Like, did Satya Nadella set up Phil for failure? like just from the course of Bill's history as a CEO of Xbox / Microsoft Gaming.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I see the question too, but I don't know if he did it intentionally. I honestly think once, you know, Xbox made that big acquisition of Activision, that's what Microsoft was like, well, you spent how much money? Okay, we're going to see what's going on here, you know?
On my credit card? Yeah.
You spent how much?
I definitely think that got the greater, you know, company's attention, you know, and obviously, you know, making that decision did make the Xbox division, you know, more profitable than it was previously. But, you know, what did it have on there? A bunch of evergreens from Activision. Is that really? It's like, oh, things are doing better. I'm like, man, really? I don't know.
Yeah. Rich, go ahead.
And now Call of Duty was declining?
Yeah. Rich, what do you think, man? Because I think you got something to say about this one.
I think you nailed it. I think it is the Activision because, and obviously that got more attention because they had to go to court with the FCC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nadella was in there. I'm sure he didn't like having to do all that just to make sure everything was happening. So I think that was it. But to go to some of the other points, because there was a comment made earlier about Game Pass being the culprit. I honestly think the real reason why this did not work is because of them trying to acquire all these studios. Yep. Same thing with PlayStation, because you see what happened with Blue Point and what's happening with Microsoft getting rid of, you know, the Hi-Fi Rush developers. Yeah, they acquired a lot of things. They didn't really have a plan for how they were going to implement, because there are several studios they acquired. I still haven't seen any games they're working on. And then you hear some of the games got canceled, but there are still other studios that nothing came of that acquisition yet. So that's why I say that definitely contributed to this. I think obviously, yeah, the Activision thing, that put a lot of pressure on the situation. I'm pretty sure that was very uncomfortable. And then we also saw this too when we saw the previous Xbox showcase when it was Sarah and it was Matt Booty out there and Phil, they had made comments about this being a very challenging, very hard time because of all the stuff they went through to try to do that acquisition, and I'm sure all the other stuff not working out either. So yeah, that definitely took a toll on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I feel like one of the reasons, and Rich kind of alluded to it, but in reverse for me, I feel like the reason why Microsoft has been in a steady decline for a long time now is that they didn't acquire a lot of the studios that sort of made Xbox 360 great. Because I feel like Xbox 360 was going to be their only shot at going at the top. You know, Nintendo and Sony are just these huge juggernauts in the gaming industry, and it takes a lot of, you know, a lot of great stuff to release in different circumstances. And Xbox 360 kind of had everything. They had the online infrastructure. They had the cheaper console. They released early. They had all these exclusive games or even games that played better on Xbox. So it was better to play them. And they sort of went into the next generation with not only the disastrous Xbox One launch, but a lot of the games that people fell in love with playing with the Xbox 360, they could play it on PS4. And, you know, one of them that I think about, you know, clearly is, you know, the whole Bungie stuff when they let Bungie go. You know, Destiny was a huge thing. If that was an Xbox game throughout that last generation, that would have at least changed a little bit. You know,
what, Carlos?
Way more than Call of Duty does now.
Segway Kings, at least right to the next question. Perfect. Segway. What are Phil Spencer's greatest achievements? And the question specifically is Mob Hits, by the way, shout out to Mob Hits. So the question is specifically, what are his three greatest successes and three greatest failures? And, you know, now since the head of Xbox is an AI person, I went to AI to ask this question, and it actually got it pretty well. It got I checked his homework. Yeah, that's actually pretty true. So let's see what you guys think about this. Launch. Some of these are questionable, not because of AI, because I'm like, are you sure that's a success? But whatever. This one I will agree with. Accessibility and backwards compatibility. Backwards compatibility was a big one. Like, he was able to get all generations of Xbox games running. Not every title, but the fact that Sony's not doing that shit. Nintendo's not doing it. You know, that's really big. Manny, remember, we were at that E3 when they made that announcement. I thought it was a big one for sure.
Yeah, it was a big one. And then the fact that they have the backwards compatibility working and they're able to run all of those games at a higher frame rate and a higher resolution too.
Remastering engine, like, if you will.
A remastering engine, like literally just like, oh hey, look at that. How could, you know, it's like how come, so you know, obviously, you know, the cell processor is a lot more difficult of a thing to sort of put together to get to work, but they got it to work. Like, you know, you saw that announcement for Metal Gear Solid Collection 2. Most of those games, you know, with the except, you know, Peace Walker was running. You could run Peace Walker on, like, from Xbox 360 era on your current Xbox.
Yeah.
Same with Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
This next one, I'll go with yes, even though it's been mixed results. Launching Game Pass, that was a big initiative of his. You know, I know they kind of stalled out at 34 million subscribers, but, you know, Xbox Game Pass is a good subscription if you don't have a lot of money, right? I think we could all agree on that, you know?
Right now, I mean, then, back then.
Back then. We're talking about back then. Yeah, now it's a lot of money, obviously. And even though I think this ultimately hurt them, he did acquire some big studios, you know? Although that, I think that backfired in the end. So those are three successes. For three weaknesses, I agree with all these too. Weak first party software output, yes, absolutely. No one really cared about some of these games. High profile failures like Redfall and Halo Infinite, absolutely. Yeah, and declining hardware sales. We've been talking about that all generation. No, and Carlos, you mentioned this too. They didn't secure Destiny when they could have, you know. Even Phil Spencer regretted that, you know. Go ahead, Rich.
I'd like to add one more to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
That was a very good point by Carlos. They did not acquire Destiny, and I still have to bring this up because I'm still angry about it. They also did not acquire BioWare for the sake of doing Mass Effect, because the original Mass Effect was on Xbox. So, yeah, I didn't like that. Then you let EA take them, and now, you know. We will probably never see another Mass Effect game. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. What are some of it? What do you guys think are some of his other failures and successes? And you guys in the chat, let us know too. Pulling Xbox One out of the garbage. What garbage? It stayed in the garbage the entire generation. You know? Go ahead, Chris.
I think one thing that kind of screwed up everything, especially eroded trust with the brand, you know, and customers and potential sales, it was all the mass layoffs, like shutting down Tango Gameworks when you were saying, like, promoting Hi-Fi Rush as a success, saying it's the kind of games they wanted to make, then it shuttered the studio, right? Or tried to.
He literally went over to that studio and said, yes, you are the future of Xbox, your size type of games, and fired, and then literally closed the studio.
Well, and then closed the studio down. Kane Austin, I mean, I don't know how much money they pumped into the projects there. I mean, it's in the billions of dollars, and then you shut it down. Like, all this stuff, like, and it is multiple examples. He's almost on Jim Ryan levels of Grim Reaper, cutting heads. But that's not a good look, especially when you were talking about expansion and growing the brand and acquiring studios, only to, like, shutter a lot of them and shutter a lot of projects that were well into development, like, just key titles. What was the famous one? They showed
the Platinum Games one?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Scalebound?
The Dragons.
Scalebound.
Yeah.
Oh. Scalebound, yeah.
Shout out to Dio, man. He still talks about that to this day. Yeah, there's a lot, you know. By the way, Quell, Xbox One X, that was not a success. Just to break it down, right? So the Xbox One sold 58 million units. That's pretty good. How much did PlayStation 4 sell? 117 million. And then fucking the Switch, 137 million, right? So think about that. That's way low. And then the Xbox Series X so far, because the generation's not over yet, 34 million to PlayStation's 90 million. And to be fair, the Switch is 16 because it just came out, you know? So no, none of those systems were successes. Go ahead, Rich.
I was going to add another game that I'm sure that Chris was going to mention. The quadruple A classic Perfect Dark.
Oh, man.
That got canceled. and again, I know that project had been in development hell and all this other stuff. Yeah, that one. That's definitely that was a massive L because we had just saw it at an Xbox showcase, and all of a sudden, okay, yeah, this game is canceled. The studio is over. So ridiculous.
Yeah. I want to point this one out, this thing here, because we've been talking about this forever. Due to the dismal hardware numbers, Coel, Spencer pivoted towards a console agnostic future, bringing major Xbox exclusives to Forza Horizon, Sea of Thieves. Manny, you said this a while ago. You do not bring your biggest titles out to another system if your system is doing well. You know
exactly. Yeah, the only way that he saw that he could essentially start to bring some more money to that division was to essentially start to, you know, to bring over a game, other games, you know, to that, to the other consoles, the ones that have more of a player base. If you notice, you know, Forza Horizon, an older game, right, did quite well on PlayStation.
It did. So
I think there's just I think the thing about it is it's like he saw that, like, okay, you know, if we don't do something in this situation, we're just going to fall apart. So, you know, just put it on everything.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to add another one too. You can see this as a failure, but I'm going to see this as a success. He successfully made Xbox a third party publisher.
without actually saying that it was a third party publisher. They haven't said it,
but they were the biggest third party publisher last year. You know, they made a lot of money. All right. Let's move on here. I'm going to move this one up because this will serve as a transition, because we're going to start moving to the Blue Point questions. Half of the show is Xbox questions. The other half is Blue Point. So this is from Kishak. I'm going to come back to Moppet's other questions. So it can't be a coincidence that every time bad news comes out of PlayStation, Xbox has to follow with something even worse soon after, right? Why is Xbox only competitive with PlayStation, and who can deliver the worst news? Yeah, because obviously the running theme of the week was, man, Sony fucked up. Blue Point. And then Microsoft came out and they're like, hold my beer, bro. Now no one's talking about Blue Point anymore. I mean, we will obviously in this episode, but that it's all gone now, you know? But what are some of the other examples of you know, Sony coming out with bad news and then Microsoft coming out with worse news? I'm forgetting.
I feel like Microsoft came up with the bad news first. You know, they had all those big firings first.
Yeah, right? But he's talking about this week specifically.
This week, I don't know. I
mean, yeah, like, or rather, like basically, because you do see that's like Sony puts out something bad, and then like a few days later, Xbox fucked up.
Well, I mean, also, you know, I want to say this: if you look at when these announcements happen, it is the end of the 2025 fiscal year.
Getting there.
And all these companies are looking to essentially look really good at the end of their, you know, at their end of the year reports. So what does that mean? Closing down studios. What does that mean? Canceling projects, you know, that sort of stuff. So that we probably hear these things very close to each other when they're looking to essentially tighten the belt. So what is that? November, right? November, right before October, November, right before the holidays, right? And now.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? I know there's other examples, but I'm not thinking about them. What's up, Rich?
So two quick things. So what Manny said, I believe that now Chris's most anticipated game, Fair Games, is possibly going to get canceled next month. So we'll have to see if that's what happens. but no, I just was going to say, I know of something. It's not this week.
Yeah, but again, in general, yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned, Tony, you went to E3. I also recall going to an E3 a long time ago, a showcase event for Xbox and PlayStation, where Xbox announced the price of their console, and then we go to Sony's conference, and we get the announcement of the PS4 being cheaper than the Xbox. That was, because we had another person on the staff at the time. As soon as they saw that Xbox price, they pre-ordered the console, and then we go to the Sony conference, hey, PlayStation 4, cheaper than the Xbox. He was absolutely livid, and I couldn't stop laughing when I saw that reaction.
Yeah, $399. I remember that. That was the reverse of this question, though. But yes, that is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, it's pretty interesting stuff there. All right, now we're getting to the Blue Point questions. Another one from Mr. Kishak here. Does it feel like history is repeating itself with Blue Point? It's reminiscent of when Japan Studios closed. There was massive wave of public outcry, yet the sales numbers for both studios tell a different story. It seems like a lot of people only started giving a shit once the studios were actually gone, despite not supporting their games when they actually mattered. What do you say, Manny? I see you thinking over there.
Where the sales actually mattered.
Yeah, because, you know, we did see the numbers. Blue Point hadn't made a game in 6 years.
They hadn't made a game in six years since the Demon Souls remastered, which didn't that do quite well?
It did well, but that was 6 years ago.
Yes, but what's the problem? They were working on something else.
Yeah, no, but he's saying, like, just like Japan Studios, Sony was like, hey, you guys aren't making enough money, you're gone. That's what he's saying.
But I mean, the thing about it is, it's like, you know, they were in a space, at least with when it came to Japan Studio, the budgets for their games weren't like extravagant. And that's part of the reason why Toyama left at the time. Because they were making middle A type titles. So they were like, okay, we get a good enough profit on this and we can keep doing those things. Smaller investments. You remember that one?
Yeah.
And as far as Blue Point, I would say when they acquired Blue Point, which was after the Demon Souls remastered, they did quite well for PlayStation when they did Shadow of the Colossus remastered right before the thing, not to mention assisting in a bunch of other projects. So, I mean, like, what was there not to support? People were supporting them. They had quite good the titles they released did fairly well. And what was their main? What was the main goal for picking up somebody like a Blue Point? They've already they already did it twice in a row. They took two classic titles and essentially did a sexy modern remaster with those games.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, and I the whole thing, and I agree with Manny. I don't agree with Kishak because everyone cared about Blue Point. The Blue Point was super popular in the PlayStation crowd before they got the axe. Everyone was talking Bloodborne remaster. That's what everyone wanted.
Yeah,
that was the ideal thing for them to do. But they started working on a God of War live service game that no one asked for. And that's what took them down. Whether it's their fault or Sony's fault, honestly, Sony never even had a chance to work with Blue Point other than God of War Ragnarok after they acquired them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm kind of with you guys. I kind of reject the premise, but I do want to bring this up because this is interesting, right? Because and even we said this on the show on Thursday, right? So we could, we admit when we're wrong. We said Sony had forced Blue Point to work on this God of War games as a service game. Turns out that's not the case, right? Mm-hmm. Not officially confirmed yet, but sources are saying that it was actually Blue Point that came to Sony saying, we want to do this God of War live service game. And Sony wanting more live service games, like, yeah, go for it, And Manny and I were talking about this. They were basically playing the game. It's like, oh, these are the kind of games that Sony wants. We want to stick around. Let's do this for them.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about it is that nobody.
If that's true, they fucked up.
Yeah. That report came from an unconfirmed Twitter post by somebody who said they contacted a couple of the people from Blue Point to find out what happened. And, he sort of compiled a lot of their answers into this one long Twitter post.
Very good, very thorough report. Yeah.
It was to be honest, that's a much more thorough report than I'd ever seen some of these so-called journalists on some of these sites do. Yeah, homeboy literally jumped on right away, and hopefully that's all of what he wrote there was actually the truth, and he wasn't just making a bunch of shit up.
Yeah, exactly.
But isn't that what you should do? Like, how come IGN didn't do that shit, or your boy fucking
Jason Schreier,
your boy Jason Schreier, right?
It's a good point.
We're gonna hear stuff. We're no doubt gonna hear stuff after the fact from Schreier when it comes to Blue Point. I suspect that thing will happen because people tend to like to talk to him after the fact. they were working on it, but I feel like, you know, to be honest, like, I feel like, you know, maybe PlayStation should have been like, hey, listen, you got like a 70 person team here. How are you going to do this? We think it would be best for you to continue to work on more remasters at this point. But maybe that's the thing. Maybe Herman said, no, you know, that's a great idea. We're looking for, these service games. And since you guys have a little bit of God of War history, yeah, go for it. Also, by the way, some of the after this project got canceled, right? The God of War coming canceled. They pitched for at least three more remasters and something else. And they said, you know, it's funny that they said that they were working on a new franchise. By the way, they weren't working on a new franchise at all. They were just working on a God of War, like, you know, thing. But anyway. They made three. They said they did three remaster pitches. One of them they said they couldn't say because somebody else was working on it. What do you think that one was?
Who knows, man?
God of War trilogy.
Yeah, it could have been.
Everyone's going to see Bloodborne.
The Bloodborne.
No, God of War. I think it's God of War trilogy. So they already had it down the line that they probably had Santa Monica already running on a God of War trilogy remastered or, you know, remake. So,
yeah. All right.
Sucks.
Let's move on here. George W. Cush. At this point, it feels like some dumbass higher up suit at Sony saw those stupid AI remastering old games in 4K Unreal Engine videos on Facebook or TikTok and just said, why do we need Bluepoint anymore? AI can do their job just as well. Basically, do you think faith in AI gave Sony motivation to close Bluepoint? No, I don't think so. But, no. You know, but it is kind of interesting because a bunch of, by the way, investors are the stupidest fucking people, I swear. Like, they pulled money out of, like, a bunch of gaming things like Rockstar because some, you know, they released some, like, I don't know what model it was, but they released some new model that was just taking a bunch of games, ripping them off, and be like, oh, we could make games, you know, right here on the spot, you know? And they're like, oh, that's the future. Let's take our money away. It's like, guys, it doesn't do what you think it does, you know? But, yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think, you know, Bluepoint was just kind of there not doing anything, you know, like, okay, what do we keep you around for? But at the same time, like you said, Media Molecule's been there for longer not doing nothing, and they're still around, you know. So I don't know, man. It's an interesting thing. I think it's stupid.
It's crazy, like, how many fuck ups Sony does, and it doesn't kind of really hurt their quota. The Concord, like, watch anyone else do a Concord type failure,
they'll be
and
done.
Recover from that. The whole Bluepoint stuff is ridiculous. It's like, I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to get Tony Polanco to be in my podcast as my co-host. Tony does tech. He does games. Let's do a sports podcast, Tony.
Yeah, right. That's the same kind of mentality. You're right.
It's like you got them. They were known as the remake remaster studio.
They obviously understand, like, single player games. If anything, give them a new single player game, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Podcast, firing Manny and then making Tony talk about doing art for comic books.
Yeah, right. It's like, what? Like, no, bro. By the way, Quell, man, like, I appreciate the football analogies, but right over my head, because I'm not a sports guy, just like Carlos mentioned before, you know. Imagine sports are big now. You do a sports podcast, but it's the same deal with Bluepoint, you know. It's stupid. What a shame, yeah. Man.
I think one thing to, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, I would say certain people, when they use certain sports analogies, the thing about sports is that they don't care about individuals. If you ever look at the fans, you look at all the other things, they always support their team. They could fire the whole fucking team and they'll still be there. Even if the team was actually a really good fucking team and they all had a lot of skill and they were the reason why they got as far as they did. But yet they still support that because it's their team. Yeah. Same thing with game development. Yeah. It's not about the company. It's not about any of that shit. It's all about the people that build those things. And when you start seeing those people disappearing and then you notice that the team ain't doing so good, it's not the team's fault. It's the fact that the management got rid of all the important people.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Another one from Mr. George W. Cush. This one's a little bit of a long one, so know, indulge me here. When PS5 was announced, I felt that Demon's Souls was Sony's way of saying we care about hardcore gamers. This was the only true PS5 exclusive at launch, and it felt like it was an incentive for their most likely early consumers, the hardcore gamers. With Bluepoint closing and Sony not making any effort to make something original with their IP other than Marvel slop and sequels of PS4 games, do you feel that Sony just doesn't give a fuck anymore and won't put any effort into convincing hardcore gamers to get a PS6? Honestly, it will be the first PlayStation where I don't see myself buying it. Yeah, they don't have to care because they know you're going to buy the shit anyway. Let's be honest here.
Yeah,
they don't care because you're going to buy it anyway.
They never did care. I hate to say it, but like
during the PS3 era, they cared, you know.
And PS2, I would agree.
Yeah, PS2.
PS2, I would definitely agree.
And for half of the PS4 era, those guys, you know, Gio Corsi, Sean Layden, you know, all those guys, they care. You could tell, you know.
Well, okay, but I mean, like when you're talking about like care about hardcore gamers, no. No, and I'm not going to fucking accept that because Bloodborne came out as the redheaded stepchild that PlayStation tried to brush under the rug to showcase to 18 Order 66 until that shit fell out of its face. And now they want to look back on it like, oh, yeah, they were these forward-thinking company that supported hardcore gamers. Fuck that shit. No, they weren't. They did that for a niche audience to help round out a thing, and they did not expect it to be the fucking thing that it was. It's not like they looked at Demon's Souls and went, you know what? We've made a cult classic. We should make something for this core group of gamers because they're passionate and we're passionate about them. No, they went, ah, sure, yeah, fuck it. We'll do another thing with the Souls guy. That seemed to round it out. We'll get a little bit more of a launch title going. Like, they did not support Bloodborne. Like, in when Bloodborne was coming out, they were not supporting it. They didn't support it until the other shit failed.
To be fair, that's just one example.
I know. I just get really fucking uppity about, like, because, like, Bloodborne is one of the best Souls games ever. And I get so fucking uppity about Sony getting the roses for that shit when they barely wanted to do it to begin with. And when they did do it, they had zero faith in it. And then we look back on it like, oh, man, like, they really, they knew and they cared. No, they didn't. It was a fluke. FromSoft cared. FromSoft tried to do that shit. They deserve your roses, but not Sony. Sorry. They didn't care to begin with. It was a fluke that just happened to look like it cared, and then they built a marketing system around that to be like, yeah, we totally did this on purpose. But they didn't. They didn't.
Yeah. What about the rest of you guys? All right. I guess nobody wants to answer, so we'll move on to the next question.
What was the question?
Has Sony just stopped caring about hardcore gamers?
Yeah. I think that's safe to say. Yep. I mean, we can argue about the semantics of when they did and did not, but at the current time, I think it's safe to say, I think most of us agree, they don't really care about you.
No, you don't.
Anyone.
Especially this generation.
Part of it,
I mean, I brought up Souls because he brought up Souls.
I think the thing about it is also is the fact that they only care about hardcore gamers when the hardcore gamers are making them the money. They didn't even want to release the original Demon's Souls.
That's right.
It was they thought they put it out in Japan, and then it was the fact that another company decided to take it and bring it over here that it initially started to hit, and it took From Software to go somewhere else because Sony didn't want anything to do with them, and then come back again, and then they get a Bloodborne. So,
but even then, it was swept under the rug. Like, it's just
no. They didn't. Yeah, they obviously didn't expect that game to do the numbers that it did, especially when they had their darling, the Order 1886, which also did quite well. It didn't fail. But that said, those are two different sides of the coin. There, right? It's the somewhat casual shooter game, you know. And then you have, the more hardcore Bloodborne. But yeah, definitely, we didn't. There's only one trailer, and nobody knew what the fuck that was, right? If you remember that trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It showed some close-ups of werewolf or something, and then we're like, okay, what is this?
And like, I don't mean that talking shit fuck Microsoft, Dad. I just don't even care anymore. Like, I'm teamless now, but like. Sony, like, just objectively, they've never really been about catering to a hardcore audience. If anything, they've kind of catered to a little bit more casual audience. They've always wanted you to finish their games. They've been, Microsoft was, they did more like arcade and online stuff. Sony's a lot of times been about big budget narrative experiences, and they want you to finish that whole fucking thing, so they're not going to make it unnecessarily difficult. I don't mean that in a shit talking way.
To be fair, that's an industry thing. That's not just a Sony thing.
I'm not saying it's just a Sony thing, but I'm saying like that is generally the side Sony fell more on. So I'm not talking shit on. I'm just saying like they've generally been about narrative, single player, accessible things, which are not hardcore gamer activities.
I don't know. Ratchet and Clank, is that narrative driven? Sly Cooper, Jack and Daxter. I don't know about that, Brett.
I mean, those were lighter platformers, though, I would add.
Yeah, but you're not 100% wrong, because what was PlayStation's original tagline? Live in your world, play in ours, right? They weren't marketing the console to kids. They were marketing to teenagers. Like, hey, you go do your thing, bro. When you game, you come to us. You know, so that is more of a general audience, you know?
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, like, okay, let's take Souls out of the equation, right? And let's look at the, like what Sony had versus, like, what Xbox had, right? Xbox had Ninja Gaiden. That shit made me want to puke out my soul.
Yeah.
I had to fight an Apache, two Sherman tanks and an Apache helicopter with no save point between those. Like, that is shit. That is, like, berserk level of traumatizing, and I still think about that shit. Because, like, you fight the fucking Apache helicopter that shoot missiles at you, and you're like, oh, thank God, beat the boss. They take you into a fucking arena, and a Sherman tank comes out, and you're like, I'm literally a ninja, and I have to fight a fucking Sherman tank. And then you destroy it, and you're like, oh, I'm at the last 10% of my life. And then two more Sherman tanks come out, and then you get your save point, right? I don't remember anything on Sony beating the brakes off me that bad.
I'm wondering if we're getting... if we're using different qualifications for the word hardcore gamer.
Hardcore, difficult. Games that don't... The opposite of a hardcore game is a game that if you put enough time into it, you will finish it.
Yeah.
It is simply a matter of putting in the paces,
okay,
right?
Okay, because I was coming at it from a different perspective, right?
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. What you said is 100% correct. That is a definition of a hardcore gamer. My definition of a hardcore gamer is someone who lives and breathes gaming. Right? Like a hardcore gamer, you know?
There's so many flavors of that. I was taking that particular one because he brought up Souls in the terms of like
that hardcore gamer. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because so I was taking it the other way.
Like difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough. But I was just letting you know, Brett, that's where I'm coming at it from. Like when I think hardcore gamer, I don't think dude that just likes to play punishing games. I think about a guy who lives and breathes fucking gaming. Hey, you know.
I mean, in that case, yeah, Sony does make a comeback because they have a lot of franchises that are multi, like, I mean, fucking, like, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood kind of thing, like, that, where it's, you're stuck in this for years. Like, they hook you and keep you for years invested, like The Last of Us. Like, that's kind of a thing that they do. So if you're talking about just emotional investment, no, they don't got anything out on Xbox. In fact, Xbox would be more casual at that point because... You know, they don't have those experiences. You don't look back at, I mean, you got Master Chief, but when was the last time you had a God of War moment from an Xbox title?
Yeah, but at the same time, to your point, the first time I even heard the word hardcore gamer was from Adam with the first Xbox. Like, this is a system for hardcore gamers. And he meant it in the way you did, you know? Because that was...
Yeah, because everything was really difficult and everything was competitive. Like, it was all online and hard.
Yep, for sure. But yeah, no, Sony doesn't give a fuck. Let's just be honest here. All right, moving on here to make it. Last two questions of the night. Another Sony question. Do you guys remember the consolidation wars of a few years back? Worked out well, didn't it? Given how Bluepoint was a talented port studio that was shut down while Haven and Firespire are still going, is it sad to say Sony is still banking on having one of these multiplayer games hit over letting a studio like Bluepoint remake one of their many beloved games or try something new? Yeah, that's a problem. They're still chasing his games as a service shit, you know? And they decided, hey, you know, Bluepoint, we don't need you, man. You know, we got these other studios that could do this for us. It's a sad state of affairs. And especially, like you said, Brent, we are living in the age of remakes and remasters, and you let go of your team that makes remakes and remasters. It's insane.
It's because you're run by a group of unloyal gambling addicts. Like, that's all the fucking stockholders are. Like, they're not long-term stockholders. They're there to turn over, make a quick buck, and then dump your fucking stock. Like, you literally have gambling addicts running your business, and then you're wondering why you don't have long-term success.
Yeah, Reggie, we did cover that. And, Reggie, I gave you a shout-out at the beginning of the show, too, brother. I brought that Tony's take back for you, you know?
You didn't even show up in time to get it.
Yeah.
He slaved over a hot microphone.
Yeah, right. but what do you guys think? Go ahead, Carlos. What do you think about this?
Well, you mentioned, to piggyback something you said, you mentioned, you know, like Blue Point, they're the remaster and remake studio, and they're great at it.
Yep.
Every game they remade is great. Arguably, I mean, I played Demon's Souls. That was a great experience. That was kind of worth getting a PlayStation 5 for. The only thing I hated about that game is when Chris left me for dead. the whole thing with Blue Point is, I misconstrued the question. Hold on. Yeah. Well, the whole thing with the games as a service, I think they're kind of going away from it. Everything that's getting released was already set, you know, set in stone, like Marathon. So that's why they're releasing those games. So it still doesn't make sense why Blue Point got the can, because I think they're moving a little away from that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they, like, Blue Point should be an asset team, right? Like, I don't even know if they need to necessarily be there, like, somewhere between a studio and an asset team, right? Like, when Naughty Dog decides to release Last of Us 2 again for the 9th time, Sony should be stepping in and being like, hey, your guys' time is valuable, and your creative direction, that Neil Druckmann, we know that you're out of ideas and that you are a wash-up, but just attaching your name to something adds creative credence to something. So, like, you guys work on how about The Last of Us 3, and we're going to bring in Blue Point to just do the shine-up as, like, a special team, right? Like, they should be the remake squad that gets called in to a set. You have a skeleton crew for the original developers, and then you push your talent onto a new project instead of dicking around, keeping the lights on and hemorrhaging money. It's so wildly inefficient that I can't look at it from any other thing than, like, there's nobody's paying attention. I think we've all been part of or seen that organization before. Like, does anybody here know what they're doing, or does everybody just kind of have their part and then they stick to it and hope that this behemoth lumbers across the finish line somehow? But if it doesn't, it's not my fault. You know, it's there's such a lack of direction that you can't actually believe that there's a pilot, right? Am I the only one who feels this way?
Yeah, I don't know. somebody's in charge, obviously, but I don't know.
In charge doesn't know what they're supposed to be doing. Like, nobody really knows what they're supposed to be doing, and nobody is actually stepping up and taking charge.
Yeah, you might be right. What do the rest of you guys think? You know, with Sony's, you know, games as a service nonsense and Blue Point.
It was just a
go ahead, Rich.
Oh no, go ahead. I just was gonna say, well, to answer Brett's question, we do know what one Sony studio was doing, Naughty Dog. They're working on Intergalactic and the remastered edition for Intergalactic on PS6.
Well, I mean, you know, that's right there. Nobody's talking about the can of worms with that. Where a bunch of people from Naughty Dog were talking about how, they were kind of crunching them pretty hard to do an internal demo for that Intergalactic game. That game is not coming out anytime soon.
Oh, man. they're
crunching pretty bad from what reports have said. But I think that, to be honest, like, and I hate to say this, you know, Blue Point, even though they had the skill, they had the thing to do those sorts of remaster type of titles, they're not the top of the food chain. They will much rather sacrifice them. A company that was only which at its peak was an 80-person studio, and by the time, at least from that report, they only had 50 people on staff. So you're telling me a 50-person staff, you know, was not, you know, you couldn't keep that around to do something?
Yeah, and they didn't have like any IPs.
And if you look at the space of the titles that they had made, right? Like, you could have thrown them. It only really took them about 2 years. Well, okay, what was the time between Shadow of the Colossus Remastered and Demon's Souls. How many years was that? 3 years?
2 years. 2 years.
2 years.
2018.
2 years.
2020.
So, and arguably a game like, and they did that, a 2 year game. You know, I mean, did that remastering job, or that remake job in 2 years. So they couldn't have done a Bloodborne one in there? Ended the generation with that? You know,
supposedly. They could have. I just don't think they got the permission to. Like, no, somebody wasn't utilizing
it. I don't think whoever at Sony had the foresight to think that way. I think they just said, oh, well, no, we don't want any of those. And, you know, Santa Monica's doing God of War Remastered Trilogy.
Well, the ironic thing is they already worked on the God of War collection before this new one was announced.
They did. You know? They literally could have did what they did with Shadow of the Colossus Remastered or Remake, where they just totally took the old engine, had it, games control as the way you remember them, and then just do a whole underside of that. But sure, I don't think whoever was in charge didn't have had the foresight to be like, hey, you know what? Let's, if you can get this thing, you know, get this thing done, and you know, in the amount of time that you finished off Demon's Souls Remastered, let's go. Let's keep this game going, right? But I don't think they did. I think, again, you have all these other companies, the other studios that are essentially draining money. What are they doing? Like, you know, I hate to put up Media Molecule, but you know, like Riku did, I do like that company. But what are they doing right now?
They're doing shit.
What is it like? They're not doing anything. Well, what's her face's company who's making fair games? Obviously, the space doesn't seem like it even wants. The space doesn't seem like they want any of those type of games. And let's be honest, even the head of their studio decided to peace out. So that, yeah, what's her, I'm blanking on her name.
Yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
Jade Raymond.
Jade Raymond, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just going to mention, like Tony, Manny mentioned, he's like, yeah, what's his face studio? It's like, yeah, what's his face is not there anymore. So,
yeah. What's Sony Bend doing? You remember the old.
Are they still around?
They're still around.
So, you never know, man.
Sony, okay, Bend Studio, a studio that essentially their game did pretty well, but. Apparently the greater media didn't like that title, right? And so they didn't sign them up for a sequel. And then the head of the studio and the two heads of the studio left.
Yeah. Okay. They are still around. I had to double check. What's up with that? Yeah.
Yeah. Sony, they're still around.
It's crazy.
So what are they working on? Are they just assisting? Are they trying to help Fair Games Company get this shit out the door? Or are they trying to help Bungie get their fucking broken asses into gear?
The last game they worked on was Days Gone, bro. Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, to answer your Tony, that's technically not correct. At least not the last game they worked on. I mean, that was the last game they released. It says on January 2025, Sony canceled Bend Studios live service game.
Uh-oh.
That was in development since 2021.
So yeah, so who's next on the chopping block? Seems like maybe Bend is the next one to go. They handed these people the worst possible situation. They could have had so many titles out if they had at least a few more titles out. But all of them, the whole generation was filled with these people wasting their time on stupid service fucking games. And you know, I'm gonna say this, like, I think the biggest fluke out of all of this one is the Helldivers 2. But I think again, like just like how Brett said with Bloodborne. I think Sony just didn't give a shit about it. They're like, oh, you took some, right, sure, you can have the rights to, you know, to develop this thing. You know, we don't give a shit about that. If you get it, we're good. You know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. Anybody else want to jump in on that? If not, we'll go on to the last question of the night from Dumeke. This one's simple. Which one is a bigger loss to gaming? Blue Point or Phil Spencer?
Blue Point.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Blue Point as well. Like the Phil Spencer one sounds bigger, but Blue Point, man, like they were actually making games, bro.
I'm really hoping Blue Point just reconsolidates.
I don't know, man.
Well,
I mean, like, look, they don't have the IPs they have to manage, right? Like they're specialized in remaking games. Like if any studio could just rematerialize on the other side of the firmament,
they haven't been. Are they fired? Or are they gone? Like, I guess they could just reconstitute themselves, right?
Microsoft is absorbing some of them to stop that from happening, to be honest.
Yeah, like in other words, taking instead of letting go of the employees and letting them go, you know, instead of, you know, keep trying to keep the more useful employees around. I mean, I'll say this about Blue Point, and you know, 2019, they lost one of their heads of their studio, like he died, and that's right before they did the that's literally a year or two before they did the sale, and the current head was literally still programming games. So he's the head and he's still fucking programming games. So I don't know, like, obviously the knowledge is all still there, but yeah, like, what is it? What is the studio without the guy that essentially, you know, made that studio? And he came from Retro Studios, which is that currently does all they currently do all the Metroid games. So he decided, you know, I don't want to be a part of this. I want to do my own company. And he made, you know, Blue Point. So,
I mean, in a perfect world where people mentor people, that should be regular. But that's not the world we live in.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the knowledge is there, but again, like, would they want to reform into something? And then also all the work that they did, you know, essentially because the Blue Point engine, that was the engine that was on top of Shadow of the Colossus and on top of the Demon Souls Remastered. So that's all owned by Sony now. And they're obviously not going to do anything with it. So, I mean, they could definitely build something new, but at the same time, it's like, look at all the work that they had already did. They'd have to literally start from scratch. A similar situation to this is like when all the guys from, what was that company? From Ready at Dawn started talking after they got, you know, liquidated by Facebook. Where they're like, yeah, we did all this work, and like one of them was like, the biggest biscuit, you know, sucky thing is that all of the work we did, our engine is literally owned by Facebook, and they're not going to do anything with it. So would you be willing to start over again after, you know, essentially unceremoniously being destroyed?
I don't think I'd work for a company, but like I think that would be like my. That would be my key to be like, all right, we're doing the AA thing. Like, I'm surprised that's not happening more.
Well, the thing about it is that if you look at the pandemic, a shitload of companies, little smaller studios, sold themselves to big companies. Blue Point did it. Ready at Dawn did it with Facebook. Camouflage Games did it with Facebook. You know, Armature did it with Facebook. All these smaller companies decided to all jump into the, you know, because there's all this money floating around back in pandemic time, and they probably didn't know what their futures would look like. So they just decided to let themselves be taken over by these the guys who made Hellblade. They signed up with Microsoft. All these little smaller companies deciding to latch onto these bigger companies, and then, you know, you see all of them just get wiped off because they're just like, oh, they're not hitting the profits or whatever. I don't know.
So
I think one last thing on it. I think during one of the interviews, Rue or one of the heads of Ready at Dawn literally said what the second party or, you know, third party situation with a big studio like PlayStation has been like. Whereas, like, they did a game like The Order 1886, and obviously you would think, oh man, they must be making, you know, money hand over fist after making that game. But they ended up being in an even worse space. So they ended up, and they didn't know where they were going to go. So they're like, all right, let's do a VR game and see if we can get into that space. And then they got picked up by Facebook. So it's like, I don't know how many studios can with the way these sort of systems work, is it even like a good thing to even like take a second party deal with somebody like a PlayStation or an Xbox?
Yeah, it could be bad.
They ended up in a worse space, the space that took over the MySpace.
I knew you were going to go there. Oh, man. All right. Does anybody think Phil Spencer was a worse loss than Blue Point?
Well, to be fair to Phil, his decisions were a lot more consequential to the gaming industry. So we got to take that into account. Whether or not they were more positive is to be dissected. You know, personally, I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. It's hard to quantify a person, a CEO to a studio, because a studio, you can at least look at the games.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, you know, they made this, 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 and this. And with Phil, it's like thinking about decisions he's made.
Yeah, I think it's just a fun question to ask because it ties it all together. You know, so shout out to Toolmaker for that.
It's It's the Barbenheimer of the gaming industry. Yes. Distress news.
Yeah. Yeah. Last week was a crazy week for gaming, man. And I tweeted this out, you know, and people disagreed because of course they do. But I'm like, if you honestly think the gaming industry is in a healthy spot, you're not paying attention, you know? All right. Like I said, we actually have some leftover questions, so we'll get those, so those next week. But thank you guys for being on top of this. Like I said, I didn't even have to prod you guys to ask us questions. You did it all on your own. We had a full show before Sunday, bro. So shout out to everybody, you know? All right, let's start wrapping up here. Let's do some plugs. Rich, what's coming up this week on the Coalition?
Yeah, so as Tony mentioned, it was a very rocky last week, but there are some things to be excited about this week. There is a particular game coming out later this week. I would say a highly anticipated game coming out later this week. So I definitely would encourage you to stay tuned to the Coalition website as well as the Coalition YouTube, because I will be talking about this game later this week.
What, is this a hazardous game?
Absolutely. It's very hazardous.
Very hazardous, yes. Very hazardous. Unless anything crazy happens in gaming this week that eats up all our time, Rich and I may or may not talk about this hazardous game on Thursday as well.
No, man. That's correct.
Well, yes. You know I'm not going to answer that question, bro. You have to guess. Oh, man. Good stuff. All right, Manny, what's going on in your world?
Yes. So, Blood and Thunder, number 10, out now. And that's covered by Carter Randolph and myself. And, yay, finally we get to see it.
Not really, because it's all TMNT. Pixelated as fuck, but
sorry about that. But TMNT Battle Nexus number 5 with the cover by Kari Randolph and myself. We're on the right side, I guess. Yeah, right side. And then on the left is the director of TMNT 2012. So that's going to be out, I think, maybe next week. If I got my comp this way, so it's probably going to be next week that you're going to see this. So Wednesday, if you don't have it pre-ordered, go pre-order it, or, you know, go to your local comic book store and you can pick it up. So one caveat. So a lot of times what we've been having is that some of our special covers that we do are sort of limited. They did something. IDW did something kind of cool. And this one, I'm not going to show you what's happening on the inside. But what they did is they actually did give you a cover gallery in the back of the book. So if you do miss out on the cover, you miss out on the getting the actual cover, on the interior you actually get the artwork as well. So that was really cool of them to do that, because it's like we had a couple occasions where Kari and I had done a cover and they were incredibly rare and nobody could get their hands on it. So yeah, so inside the book, if you don't get the main one, the cover C that we did, it's still on the inside, so you can still look at it and be like, yay!
All right, good stuff. All right, so wrapping up here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, join the Discord, and check us out on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
There he is. Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Monjoma.
Unless the client list or who killed JFK is in those files, Trump, I don't care about anything about aliens.
We got the emails.
You know? All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Let's see what happens in gaming this week, man. Later.
Peace.
This is...